manual of guidance. It is the Surah Al-Baqarah. It is the manual of guidance, the manual of Hidayah. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is introducing the categories of the people that we would be meeting. Okay? That's a continuation from yesterday. Allah is introducing the categories of the people that we would be meeting during our representation on earth. The first kind of people are the straight path people. What is the easiest shape you can ever draw? Can you ever draw a shape easier than bringing a straight edge and just drawing a straight line? Can you have an easier line shape than that? That's the easiest. Straight edge, you're done. Straight line. And this is, and it's the shortest distance between two points. So the first kind are the people who are doing the straight path. And those people, very simple. Simple personality. Describe them for ayat. Okay? الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, those who believe in the unseen. وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ, and they establish the prayer, because prayer is an establishment. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ, and they back up their righteousness with money. You know how they say money talks and false claims walk? They back up with their beliefs and their righteousness with money. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. Now, all of these are required for the representation on earth. First of all, they believe in the unseen. And why Allah has unseen world? Why isn't Allah just showing Himself and His angels? Very simple reasons. We will lose our free will. Many, many reasons. One of them will lose our free will. Because the presence of Allah, the explicit presence of Allah, so Allah so obvious to us, will prevent us from doing anything wrong. I mean, would Allah, would any of us dare to do something wrong when he is seeing Allah eye to eye? Would anybody mad the police? If the police is following you, you can't break a stop sign. So just imagine, would we have the freedom to break a stop sign when the police is following us and we can see the police? Okay? Even less than Allah, you know, if we just hear the people who are screaming in the grave, we would be compelled to follow righteousness without any choice. Just imagine you're going to the bar and you're about to drink and then you hear somebody in the grave. You drop the cup and say, Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. You will never be able to. This will by itself will compel you. So for a representation, we need a free will. And for a free will, Allah and His angels has to be in the world of the unseen. So here we go. That is the first thing. So the first thing actually is the muttaqin, too scared to disobey Allah. Second thing, believe in the unseen. Third thing is الَّذِينَ أَمِنُوا بِالْغَيْبِ, establish their prayer, not perform the prayer. There's no performing the prayer in the Quran. There is established, because performance is like acting. But establish the prayer, because prayer is a package that needs to be established. It's an establishment. Establish the prayer, and they back up their claims with money they spend from out of Allah has provided them. وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ, those who believe on the ones, prophets who came before you, and the books that came before you, and believe in you, and the Qur'an that was revealed to you. And this is another requirement for the good representation on earth. وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ. They have no doubt that there will be a day after we go underground, there will be a day that we will be resurrected. Good guys are going to be getting the prizes and bad guys are going to get the punishment. For Allah is too wise and too fair to make equal the good guys and the bad guys just by throwing both 6 foot underground and that's the end. Just by imagining this, just by believing in this, that this is the end, there will be no motives to do good deeds, and there will be no threats for the guys who are going to do bad deeds. And then, see, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ, those are the ones who are following guidance, these are the ones who are doing the good representation, وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ, those are the successful ones. Done with the good guys. Then The second personality is the open that we will meet during the presentation, is the opposite personality. What is this personality? Simple. Three ayat. The opposite personality. Very easy to understand. Very powerful description. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. The ones who deny the existence of Allah or deny Allah the attributes of greatness. They behave and they actually believe that Allah doesn't have the attributes of greatness. Some of them believe that Allah does not exist. So إِلَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Allah saying very simple. سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. They are a hopeless case. It is even for them. If you try to talk them out of the nonsense that they live in, or you don't try to talk them out of the nonsense they live in, it's even. It's like talking to a wall. Hello, anybody's here? Hello, anybody's here? سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ is like talking to a wall. Then comes a very important statement that needs us to understand very well. Allah says, خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ وَعَلَى سَمْعِهِمْ وَعَلَى أَبْصَارِهِمْ غِشَاوَةٌ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. Allah sealed. It's an airtight sealing. Does not let even a little bit of air. Allah sealed their hearts and sealed their ears and sealed their eyes from seeing the truth. So their hearts is totally insulated and isolated from the truth. Their ears is isolated from the truth. Their eyes are isolated from the truth. And Allah is the one who sealed it. Question. How come Allah sealed it? Allah said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of his names is Al-Mudil. And by the way, Al-Mudil, one of the names of Allah, the one who misguides people. Okay? It's not agreed upon. You know, not all scholars agree that Al-Mudil is one of the 99 names of Allah. But regardless, we all know the explicit verses of the Quran, the ayat al-muhkamat, the explicit verses of the Quran, in a perfectly understandable Arabic language that doesn't mean anything else except that Allah misguides people. I mean, in so many places in the Quran. So whether it's from the name of Allah...
How do you reconcile this with justice?
Yeah, I'm coming. This is exactly what I'm speaking about right now. So the question is, perfect question. How do you reconcile this with justice? In order to, of course, we understand the nature of Allah, we cannot cut and paste. We cannot cut one name outside of the 99 names and then try to understand it by itself. We have to put all the 99 names together and understand them all together. Okay? Just like Quran. If you cut and paste one ayah and try to understand this ayah and kill them wherever you find them, and that's it, then you reach to a wrong conclusion. But if you judge by the entire book, you reach to the right conclusion. So how would this fit with the other 99 names? How would we reach to an understanding that does not violate the other 98 names? And the scholars have agreed on this understanding that إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُضِلُّ جَزَاءً مَنْ ضَلَّ اخْتِيَارًا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will misguide as a punishment the ones who chose misguidance by choice. So in other words, it's like this. The ones who want to go backward, they want to go backward, they don't want to go forward. Allah will push them backward and create the room for them so that they can go backward and give them the tools to go backward. And the ones who go forward, Allah will push them forward and provide for them the room to and the tools to go forward. So this is clear from the Quran. For example, وَالَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْا زَادَهُمْ هُدًى. The ones who are interested in guidance, Allah will help them by giving them a push. And then this verse and other verse, قُلْ مَنْ كَانَ فِي الضَّلَالَةِ فَلْيَمْدُدْ لَهُ الرَّحْمَنُ مَدًّا. Whomsoever is interested into misguidance and he's pushing towards misguidance, Allah will open him a room and let him go into the path of misguidance. So the knowledge of Allah is not a compelling knowledge. The knowledge of Allah is either a punishment or a reward to knowledge, based on your choices. So, هُوَ عِلْمِ جَزَائِي وَلَيْسَ عِلْمِ إِجْبَارِ. It's not a compelling knowledge. It is a knowledge based on your choices. He knew your choices ahead of time, and he willed to give you what you are interested in, or part of it, or not give it to you at all, to stop, to reduce the amount of evil on earth. But whatever you want, whatever your heart wants, you get it. it's going to be, you get whatever your heart is pushing for. I'll give you, some people will say, how could Allah know the future and write the future without condemning us? We are thinking about the humans. How can I know the future? The only way I will know the future is if I make a plan and compel people to follow the plan. So I make a plan for tomorrow. And then force people, you have to follow my plan. By force. Then this is how I know the future. Because I've already planned it, I have written it, and I'm forcing people to know, to follow it. That's the only way I can know and control the future. But Allah is way above and beyond that. Allah, knowledge. Allah does not need to force us to follow His pre-designs and pre-plans to know them. Why? How could we reach to this understanding using the names of Allah? Because two names of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing Himself with two names. These two names are related to the piece of time. This piece of time called life. From the beginning of creation to the end of creation. It's a piece of time. Let's imagine that this is a piece of time. Allah, and this piece of time has two boundaries. The first boundary is called the beginning. And the other boundary is called what? The end. Allah calls Himself al-awwal, the one who was before the beginning. And al-akhir, the one who is after the end. So He is not inside the time. He is not inside the time, and the time does not control Him. He is outside the time, and He controls the time. He's pushing the time forward. So you can think of it like, if this is the time, Allah is before and after. So the whole time is right there. So to Allah, there's no yesterday and tomorrow. They're all happening right there. It's just like having a storyboard. Okay, in this picture, Muhammad was born. In this picture, Muhammad is a child. In this picture, Muhammad is growing up, going to kindergarten. And you put these pictures. Every picture is taking a different time. These snapshots are taking a different time. And then you put them all right in front of you until Muhammad dies and goes 6 foot underground. Okay? So, here we go. If you look at the storyboard, what do you see? You see all of them together, right there. He's born here, he's dying here, all together, happening. And this is a simplified example, and Allah way above and beyond these simplified examples. I'm just trying to simplify to you, how could Allah know the future without forcing, making a plan and forcing people to know the plan? So Allah knows the future, and based on His wisdom, based on His justice, based on the other 99 names that He told us about, He will, subhanahu wa ta'ala, will choose. Like, if this is a human right there, and this human is interested into misguidance, he's interested into misguidance. Man, I don't want guidance. I don't want Jannah. Jannah is pie in the sky. Don't deceive me. I don't want misguidance. I don't want guidance. I just don't want it. Not interested. I want to walk in the misguidance. The only way to let this person go into the path of guidance is holding him like this. Take away his free will, hold him from his neck, and push him into the path of guidance. Will Allah do that? No, because Allah will not commit anybody. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will let that person go into the path of guidance. Allah said in Surah Al-A'raf that about the non-believers, that لَوْ نَشَاءُ لَأَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ آيَةً فَظَلَّتْ أَعْنَاقُهُمْ لَهَا خَاضِعِينَ. If I want, I would have sent from heaven a compelling force, a compelling sign that will force them to follow guidance. ظَلَّتْ أَعْنَاقُهُمْ لَهَا خَاضِعِينَ. The expression is, their necks will be forced to follow that because of this compelling power that Allah sends from heaven. Allah said, if I want, I will do it. But no. Whatever they want, they get it. You're interested, you're not interested in Jannah, you're interested in this way, you go that way. So this is the explanation that scholars came up with that will fit with the other 99 names. When Allah created the brain, Allah said, I swear by my glory, there's no creation on earth more loved to me other than you. And you can understand why. The eyes will not see Allah, but the brain will see Allah, right? Allah is seen by the brain. in Egypt ويقول له ربنا عرفوه بالعقل ما شافوهوش. Allah is recognized, is seen by the brain, is not seen by the eye. That's like a layman saying, like a common saying, just like no pain, no gain, something like that. The same style, this is called what saying? Common saying would be called no pain, no gain. It's a common saying. So it's a common saying that Allah is known by the brain. When do you say this statement to Egypt? If somebody is playing stupid, or if somebody is doing stupid things, hello, Allah is known by the brain, seen by the brain, not by the eye. Use this pudding. Use your noodles. Use them. And then you will be able to see Allah. And that's why these explanations cannot be done without using the brain to understand the full picture. So the case is closed. Allah sealed their eyes, sealed their ears, sealed their heart. Why? As a punishment for them choosing the path of misguidance. Whether you talk them out of nonsense or you don't talk them out of nonsense, it's even. And they end, they are going to get Adabun Ali. They are going to get Adabun Ali. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. And they are going to get عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. Description is over. Three ayat. Then a more crooked personality is described after that. A personality that's not straightforward. It's a personality that is crooked and wicked, which is the people who practice hypocrisy. Allah dedicated from verse number 9 to verse number 20. 13 verses, Allah is addressing them into 12 verses. Actually, from verse number 8. So there's 13 verses. Why? Why 13? Because those are not straightforward. Those need, they are a little bit more complicated. Okay? So Allah is explaining more about them. And at the end, Allah is giving two illustrative examples. Not one, two illustrative examples to help us understand their personality. So here is what you are. The first introduction to their personality, that they lie. They say other than the truth. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ أَمَنَّ بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرُ وَمَنْ بِمُؤْمِنِ. The first thing is false claims. I am a believer. I am a Muslim. But is that the truth? No. So the tongue is saying other than what's in the heart. That is the opening description to their personality. And then Allah saying, يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. They are deceiving, trying to deceive Allah and trying to deceive the believers. But what is the truth? وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ. They are deceiving nobody except themselves. Why? Because who can deceive Allah? And the hearts are well visible to Allah. Allah knows in the heart. So, you're deceiving who? Excuse me. You're deceiving who? It's just like somebody saying, oh, I will do evil all my life, and when I grow up old, I'm going to repent. And this way, I'll take the Allah and I go to Jannah. How do you know that you're going to die slowly? You can die in 5 seconds, in a car accident, and you have no, you're done. I mean, if you try to turn, how do you know that Allah will not seal your heart and you will not repent? By the time you're dead, your evil side, your dark side is so big, and your good side is so small that no act of righteousness will make any sense to you. I mean, if you're doing this all your life, why would you change at the end? So, وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ. Who are you trying to deceive? وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ. And why Allah said they don't feel that they are deceiving, that they are deceiving nobody but themselves. This is a very insulting description. It's like I'm telling you, you don't know what you're doing. Is that an insulting statement? Yeah. So Allah saying, they are deceiving Allah and they don't know what they are doing. That's even worse. That they don't know that they are deceiving nobody except themselves. And then, again, the same verse about the question you ask. فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ. They have a disease in their heart. Then, فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا. They have a sickness in their heart, so Allah increased the sickness for them. Allah let the sickness. You admit the sickness to your heart, Allah, when you admit the infection to your heart, Allah will let the infection grow and help you in having more infection. And the question is, why don't we say that في قلوبهم مرض, they have a disease on their heart, فشفاهم الله. Why didn't Allah say that? That they have a disease in their heart, Allah cured them. Why not? Because it is imperfection. To meet the wickedness with weakness, that is a sign of imperfection. This is not appropriate for His Majesty. To meet those ones who are so wicked and they are not interested in the guidance at all, they are trying to deceive Allah and the believers, and they are leaders of corruption, pushing for corruption. If Allah will meet their wickedness with weakness, no, Allah meets their wickedness with power and might and strength, for He is a mighty, powerful King, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why did Allah say, إِنَّهُمْ يَكِيدُونَ كَيْدًا وَأَكِيدُ كَيْدًا? They are doing wicked plans and designs, and I meet the wicked plans and designs with superior plans and designs, superior to their plans. So I will turn the plans and designs against them. So they will do things, they plan things that will destroy them. You know, an example. Just as an example, Sheikh Said Qutb, the one who put him in jail and then executed him, he hanged him, was Jamal Abdel Nasser, right? Do you know that Jamal Abdel Nasser did to Said Qutb the biggest favor ever? He made him a hero, number one. Okay? Number two, he made him shaheed. Okay? Number three, as he said when he was alive, he said, my books are dead. It will not be until I put my blood into my books that they become alive. And he, wallahi al-azim, true. Do you have Fidlal al-Quran here? In most masajid, you have it here? Yes. In most masajid, his books, Fidlal al-Quran, and the shade of Quran are everywhere. See? Now, if I want to destroy Sayyid Qutb, another wicked guy, I will not do that to him. I will just leave him out and then spread rumors about him, that he's a spy to me, and this is why I put everybody in jail except him. You know? This way I destroy him without killing him. I kill him without killing him, without making him a shaheed, a martyr, and without making him a hero. But see, the arrogance of power, he made plans. When he made the plans, he didn't mean to make him a hero and a martyr and make his books spread everywhere. He didn't mean that, did he? No, he didn't. Yet Allah took his plans against him. Another story is a guy who was a pilot, and he was very liberal. He wears gold, and he is so liberal. He comes back with the alcohol, liquor, and his briefcase. Every time he flies an airplane, he brings him back to Egypt, and he is totally outside of the path of righteousness. Then for his bad luck, they found his name in the address book of one of al-Ikhwan from in Egypt, one of the brotherhoods, the Muslim Brotherhood member. So they used to do that. Bring the guy, take his address book, and bring everybody in the address book. And then when they bring everybody in the address book, they see the address book, and they bring everybody in the address book. And this is how they networked to get everybody that belongs to this movement. Okay, and then crush them inside the jail. So they got him. When he was coming back with the liquor in his briefcase, they got him from the airport. And it didn't help him at all that he has liquor. You know, it didn't help him. They got him and they put him in jail. He spent some time in jail. He got out of jail. He has memorized Quran in jail. He had done so many night prayers. He became so tough and so strong in Islam that when he went out, he became one of the very sincere and strongest soldiers to the movements who are serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Was the intention of the one who put him in jail to make him that way? Now, who turned the plans against them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They intended to destroy him. Man, it wouldn't help you at all that it was a guy who got out of jail and then he changed his name from a Muslim name, Muhammad, into a Christian name, Gibbis. Okay? So, that's it. He didn't want to go to jail again. So when, in 1956, when Jamal Abdel Nasser issued an order to re-arrest anybody that was pre-arrested in 1954, they went and they got him. He said, I am Gibbis! I am Gibbis! Here is the cross! They told him, Gibbis or not Gibbis? Come. So, and they used to call his name. And Muhammad, known as Girgis, in the jail. Muhammad, al-Shahid bi Girgis. Muhammad, known as Girgis. It didn't help him. So, here we go. إِنَّهُمْ يَكِيدُونَ كَيْدًا وَأَكِيدُ كَيْدًا. I need the wicked plans and designs, or superior plans and designs that destroy the wicked plans and designs. وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهِ. They do designs, evil designs, and Allah is meeting the evil designs with superior designs that will destroy the evil design. And this is a sign of perfection and power, that He's meeting wickedness with power and strength, not with weakness. It's not appropriate for Allah to meet this evil with weakness. So, here we go. فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ, they have disease on their heart. Allah increased them in the diseases. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ لِمَا كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ. They will have a very painful punishment for their lying personality, for their deceiving personality, for their crooked personality. They will have a severe punishment. Our Prophet Muhammad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the hypocrites people, the people who practice hypocrisy are in the lowest level. إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ وَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ وَلِيًّا وَلَا نَصِيبًا. They are going to the lowest place in hellfire, the lowest place, the bottom of the hellfire, and they will have no helpers to get them out of it. No helpers stronger than Allah that's going to get them out of it, despite that Allah wills to keep them there. This is not going to happen. So, now, Allah is further describing them by scenarios. What scenario Allah is describing here? If they are told, don't spread corruption, man, don't spread corruption. They tell you, huh? Corruption? A'udhu billah. We are reformers. We are reformers. We don't spread corruption. We are reformers. You know, that's what they claim. Who else did that in the Quran Allah described? The Pharaoh. You know, the Pharaoh was fighting against Musa. At the beginning, he was having fun. It's like, okay, this guy is very interesting. Let's play with him. Games. He's a magician. He's a wizard. Okay, let's bring him other wizards. Let's have game. Let's have show. Let's have fun, man. He's so interesting. Now, when he found that Musa is making progress and is really annoying him and winning every single confrontation, okay, he figured out it's not fun anymore. So he was telling his advisors, ضروني أقتل موسى وقال فرعون ضروني أقتل موسى وليد ربه إني أخاف أن يبدل دينكم أو أن يظهر في الأرض الفساد. Let me kill Musa. Let me kill Musa. And let his God help him. I am afraid that he's going to change your beautiful religion or spread corruption in the land. Ha ha. Look who's talking. The Pharaoh is talking against Musa alayhi salam. Same mentality. Oh, we are reformers. Oh, we have clear objectives that are to the best interest of the country. We are reformers, and they are leaders of misguidance. Then Allah, who said that? Allah said, indeed they are أَنَهُمُ الْمُفْسِدُونَ وَلَكِنْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Indeed they are the ones who are corrupt and leaders of corruption. Mufsid, people are four categories. صالح, مصلح, فاسد, مفسد. صالح, righteousness. مصلح, reformer. فاسد, a corrupt person. Mufsid is a person who teaches corruption and spreads corruption. That is the mufsid. Leaders of righteousness on one hand, leaders of reforming, and on the other hand, leaders of corruption. Both are leaders. Allah talks about both. Allah is saying iman. Allah is using the word iman for both. Allah is saying iman of righteousness and iman of corruption. In the Quran, Allah says, وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ إِلَىٰ النَّارِ وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ لَا يَنْصُرُونَ. We made them imams to guide the people to hellfire. In the day of judgment, they are not going to find any helpers that will save them from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't spread corruption. نَحْنُ مُسْلِحُونَ. We are reformers. Allah is saying, indeed they are the people who spread corruption. وَلَكِنْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. To further humiliate them, Allah is saying, but they don't know what they are doing. So they are idiots. They don't know what they are doing. That's further humiliation. وَلَكِنْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. They don't know it. And then when they are talked out of this, When somebody tries to talk them out of this insanity and this misguidance, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ أَمِنُوا كَمَا أَمَنَ النَّاسِ. Why don't you believe like you, the other people believed? Why don't you just follow it? What's wrong with those good guys? قَالُوا أَنُؤْمِنُوا كَمَا أَمَنَ السُّفَهَاءُ. We follow those idiots? Man, to them, those are idiots. Why? Because those people cannot imagine that somebody is sacrificing for an unseen thing. Those people always imagine that anybody who does something righteous has an objective behind, a materialistic gain or benefit. He has a plan. Oh, they are eating the good poor people to be popular so that they can take over the government. Oh, they are good managers managing the unions because they want to show the people that we are good leaders if we go to the so that people vote for them. Okay? They cannot imagine that somebody will do something for Jannah. That doesn't click with them. I mean, if they see somebody like that, they call him Darwish, Allawi. And easy to say Allah means like he is like an idiot person, he's nonsense. Because to them, Jannah is pie in the sky. You know pie in the sky? Pie in the sky. Pie in the sky, by and by. You wanna. So they saw here, pie in the sky. But they saw here, oh, a lot of materialistic benefits, a lot of materialistic gains. So they chose this portion, which is the one on the left. قَالُوا أَنُؤْمِنُ كَمَا أَمَنَ السُّفَهَاءُ. Should we believe like the idiots did? Again, they are the idiots, and to further humiliate them, Allah says, but they don't know what they are doing. Again, they don't know what they are doing. They are the idiots, but they don't know what they are doing, and they think, oh, we're the smart people, we are the ones who have the money, we are the ones who have the power, look at us, those idiots are in prisons, we can squish them like ants, like this. Now, another description for them. وَإِذَا رَقُوا الَّذِينَ أَمَنُوا قَالُوا أَمَنَّا. When they go in public, in front of believers, they say, we are believers, we are Muslims. وَإِذَا خَلَوْا إِلَى شَيَاطِنِهِمْ. When they go back to the gang, to the wicked advisors, the wicked advisors say, how could you say, no, I'm a Muslim in public? They say, man, do you believe me? I was just telling them that so that they get off my back. I'm just telling them that so that they don't go around and say I am a Kafir. Oh, but I don't really mean it. You guys know better than that. Do I mean it? I don't. وَإِذَا خَلَوْا إِلَى شَيَاطِنِهِمْ. When they go back to their Satan advisors and Satan gang, شَيَاطِنِهِمْ, Satans, قَالُوا إِنَّا مَعَكُمْ. We are with you guys. We didn't lose our sense. إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُسْتَهْزِئُونَ. We are mocking those guys. We are deceiving them. Allah says, no, Allah is the one who's mocking them. And He is opening the doors for them so that they can go further into Bible. That's how Allah mocks them. Allah makes them more successful. And they achieve more and more and more. And they get what they want, get what they want. And how Allah is mocking them? Bits are rise at the end when they go 6 foot underground. Allah keeps punishment away from them until at the end of their life, Allah saves all the punishment and gives them one big, huge punishment at the time of death. Boom! That will make them miserable for eternity. So they think they are mocking, or winners, until they go 6 foot underground. And then there will be a big surprise waiting for them over there when they go 6 foot underground. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوا الضَّلَالَةَ فِي الْهُدَىٰ. It's very important to pay attention to this verse. Those are the people who sell guidance and buy misguidance. And Allah is saying, فَمَا رَبِحَتْ تِجَارَتُهُمْ وَمَا كَانُوا مُهْتَدِينَ. The business of buying and selling is the worst business. Allah is accurate. Why did Allah use the word business or tijara? Because to them, it's capitalism. To them, it is money. To them, it's all business. Business, oil, strategic interests, gains. Everything to them is business. Business. That's their motive. Business. Gains. Materialistic benefits. That's their gain. That's their... So Allah is saying, فَمَا رَبِحَتْ تِجَارَتُهُمْ. Their business is a losing business. They sell their religion in exchange of materialistic benefit. Can this be? They did a very stupid deal. That is the worst deal they can do to yourself. that you buy a very nice home by selling part of your religion, or you become a president by selling your religion. Oh, I have a surprise for you. Do you know that you get a very bad deal? How? Because whatever gains you're getting by being a president is no way compared to the gains of Jannah. And whatever punishment you're getting because of selling your religion is no way compared to the punishment of hellfire. So you are, excuse me, dumb. You know, you made the wrong deal. It's a losing business. And they are not walking into the righteous path that leads them to the Jannah. Then Allah gives them the two illustrated examples. The first illustrated example that uncovers their personality, Allah says, مَثَلُهُمْ كَمَثَلِ الَّذِي اسْتَوْقَدَ نَارًا فَلَمَّا أَضَاءَتْ مَا حَوْلَهُ ذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِنُورِهِمْ وَتَرَكَهُمْ فِي ظُلُمَاتٍ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ صُمٌّ بُكْمٌ عُمْيٌ فَهُمْ لَا يَرْجِعُونَ. Their example is the example of somebody living in the darkness. He doesn't know what he's doing. You know? As Allah said in Surah Al-Nur, أَوْقَظُمَاتٍ فِي بَحْرٍ مُجْجِدٍ. Allah describing the darkness that those guys live in. Allah is saying, it is the darkness of a very deep ocean. They're covered with pillows and layers. Layers of darkness, one above another. They don't know what they're doing. They are just going to, ouch, like this, in the darkness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving them an example that somebody is in the darkness. It is a common sense that this person will try to what? Lit a fire. To see. So they lit a fire. When they lit a fire, okay, they see, what do they see? Oh, they see guidance. Okay? But when they see the guidance, they don't like it. So they say, turn off the light. Turn off the light. We don't want to see that. Turn off the light. Darkness is better for us. Darkness is more useful for us. We want darkness. We love darkness. It was good, man. Turn off the light. So what they do, they put out the fire and they continue doing the darkness. When the light turns on, they find that they will lose their gains. Lose their business. So when they find that they will lose the power and wealth, they say, turn off the light, turn off the light. We don't want that. They lose control and they prefer to turn off the light. And then Allah is saying, because they turn off the light, they become summun bukmun umyun, fahum la yubsirun. By turning off the light, not only that they can't see, but also they can't hear and they can't talk. The inputs, the hearing and the seeing, the output is the talking. What do you mean by can't talk? Can't talk righteousness. When they talk nothing but misguidance. Even if they're so smart and intellectuals, they are saying things that will misguide people and lead to hellfire. فَهُمْ لَا يَرْجِعُونَ. Then the second illustrated example is تَصَيِّبٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. Just imagine. Imagine the picture that Allah, the video clip that Allah is doing in the Quran. كَصَيِّبٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فِيهِ ظُلُمَاتٌ وَرَعَةٌ وَبَرْقٌ. It's dark, and then boom, a thunder comes in. Then you see in the light of the thunder. And then the thunder goes away. It goes back to darkness. Thunder, you know, lightning. Okay? And that's how, this is exactly the environment. They are, you know, they are afraid to lose money and power. So they are afraid. They can't sleep at the night. Oh man, give him money so that he doesn't do a military coup. Oh man, do this. You know, they are trying to keep the power in business. So they are always in a state of terror. I don't want to lose my power. I don't want to lose my, let's do this, let's do that. And when the lightning comes, what happens? It flashes their eyes. It's like their eyes are used to the what? Darkness, right? What happens if you live in the darkness and then a brilliant heaven and then beep in your eye? What is going to happen to your eye? Boom! Flashlight, right? Of course, you are used. You're not living in the light. If you're living in the light and I flash your eye with a camera, like in the sun, if you're in the daytime, I flash your light with the camera, would you feel any flash? No. But those guys are living in the darkness. You can? It's just like this. Those people who live in the darkness, and then you tell them, stone the adulterers! Huh? It's a flashlight to them. Huh? they are not ready for that yet. They are in the dark. Don't tell them, click, stone the adulterers. That's a flashlight to them. They can't take that much. It's light. It is light to stone the adulterer who is married, of course. It is light. But, okay, but to the people who are used to the light, to them it's a flash light. Oh, whip the ones who drink. Whip the ones who drink. You know, to them it's a flash. They cannot see. To them it's like bark, like lightning that flashes their eye. They cannot see it. And then they go back. They immediately turn back into what? Misguidance. Oh, stole the adulterers? Oh, darkness is better. You know, they go back into misguidance. And then, even sometimes it's worse than that. How? They want to protect themselves from this scary environment. So, do you know what the oyster do? The oyster? What the oyster does? If the oyster is being threaded, what does it do? Isn't oyster right? Yes. Huh? Oyster? Oyster, yes. What does the oyster will do when it is threatened? The oyster will bury its head where? In the sand. But is that a protection? Ostriches will bury its head in the sand. Is that a protection? No. You bury your head in the sand, it's not going. So they, it's just like the people in Surah Al-Ankabut, that they resort to other than Allah. Allah say, what they resorted to is like the spider seeking shelter in its house. The house is built with a spider. Does it provide any shelter? Does it provide any protection? Is it a house to start with? That's the weakest house. So if you seek establishment on other than what Allah has revealed, you are doing nothing but building a house for the spider. That's not going to protect you. Same concept to you. They are scared. And they are covering their... It's just like putting their heads under the blanket. Would putting your head under a blanket would protect you? No, that's not the protection. Wallahu muhitun bil kafirin. Allah's knowledge is about them, is surrounding knowledge. It's important that to understand that the knowledge of Allah is surrounding knowledge. What do you mean by surrounding knowledge? It means that He doesn't have a point of view. You see things from your perspective. Things are matter of perception to us. They are matter of perception. They are not matter of truth or fault. They are not matter of right or wrong. It's a matter of perception. You can perceive the right wrong and the wrong right. As the Prophet ﷺ said, كَيْفَ بِكُمْ إِذَا أَمَرْتُمْ بِالْمُنْكَرِ وَنَهَيْتُمْ عَنِ الْمَعْرُوفِ. You're seeing the evil good and you're supporting it, and you're seeing the righteousness bad, stoning the adulterer, and you're rejecting it. Okay? So this is matters are things to us are matters of perception. Allah knows. Allah doesn't, His knowledge is not from a point of view, it's surrounding knowledge. He knows from the right and from the left, from the front, from the back, from the top, from the bottom, from all directions. It is surrounding knowledge. So let's say from the point of view of Allah, for He is above, way above and beyond having a point of view. And then Allah says, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَذَهَبَ بِسَمْعِهِمْ وَأَبْصَارِهِمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Allah is saying, if He wants, He would have made them like case number two. Case number two are the ones who, the non-believers, see easy. They are blind, they are deaf, they cannot talk any kind of decent talking. If Allah wants, He would have made them case number one. But Allah wanted to leave them in this state of hypocrisy because that is the state that they are interested in. He would have made them, just close the case, He would have made them like case number two. It doesn't matter, it's like talking to a wall. You warn them, you try to talk them out of the nonsense, it's like talking to a wall. La yu'minun. It's, forget it, man. Save your voice. Save your time. Go, it's done. They are not going to listen to you. And that is the end of their description. And before we go into the description of the fourth category, let's see if you guys are interested to listen or not. Because I'm seeing yawns. You know, today is the football game, right? I want you to go to the stadium. You know how people are sitting in the stadium? Yes! Woo! right? Now we'll compare them. Every brother is singing a wall. You know?
Hugging a wall.
Hugging a wall. And, man, it's more interesting than the book of Omar. So, just to give you the opportunity, inshallah, we will not continue to go into the rest until after the 15 minutes break. So those of you who would like to go home, they have a chance to go home. So if I'm, the floor is open for questions, if somebody has a question.
Yes, Prabhuji. No, the clock, it just beeps the sunrise time. Usually we pray 5 10 minutes after that, which should be...
And then go back to bed.
Well, it's optional. Where do you go?
By the way, oversleeping in the weekend and disturbing your sleeping hours is source number one for depression. And sleeping after asr time is another source for depression. They always say, "Man nama ba'da al-asr fajunna, fala yarumanna illa nafsa." If you take a nap after asr and you get a brain, you get a brain disease, like depression or any of those, don't blame nobody except yourself. The sleeping cycle is very, very important.
I wonder why all the people are crazy.
Put you in a bad mood. I mean, if you are in a bad mood, would you be interested into prayers? Would you be interested into listening to a lecture? Would you be interested into good deeds? If I'm in a bad mood, I just want to die.
I'll be interested in Abdul Aziz when I'm in a bad
mood. The night shift.
No, but his brain, his biological clock is set up that way. So, if you're set up that way, that's okay. But disturbing the biological clock in the weekend is, don't do that. So don't oversleep in the weekend until 10. If you used to wake up at 8, wake up at 8. Maintain regular sleeping pattern so that you remain healthy.
Then on the weekend, look at Joanne, no excuse not to perform the prayers on time in the masjid or whatever. You don't have an excuse. But if you come back, come in school, don't nobody be here this weekend. But hey, what's your excuse? You know, you're off.
Mm. You know, sleeping.
Sleeping, see what I'm saying? You know? So, you know. Also the same way, you know.
My same.
Well, we'll be here. Well, we said, no, we're going to be a whole lot of way. But the 24 we save God, you know. They going to make Isha be the one to save God. You know,
You know, the most luxurious day in the week in the United States is Saturday. That's the most luxurious day. Because you're comfortable that tomorrow's Sunday, so you still have Sunday. So you're not Sunday, oh my God, tomorrow is Monday. I hate Monday. But Saturday is always the most luxurious day. And if you really miss the Fajr prayer on Saturday, which is the most luxurious day, then it's not good. You know, it's something needs to be, an action needs to be taken there in the most luxurious day that Allah has blessed us with. Saturday is the most luxurious day, huh?
Yeah, go ahead.
So, I'm proposing we just pray Fajr. I have a little snack or something, and then we come back to knowledge.
Meat? Black.
Yeah?
Keep going, pray Fajr.
You see, I'm sleeping.
You know, lachen.
Beef.
You know, we Middle Eastern love meat. Desserts with meat. You know, even drinks with meat. We love meat. Lachen.
And we prefer it live.
El Mamnu' Marhoub. فما عندناش لحم عشان كده بنحب اللحم
Yeah, it's very expensive. We eat beans all the time, so it's very expensive to eat.
No, I think we love it. We just love the beans. Alham Janibar is what?
Oh my God!
This is the house of Allah.
Reminds me with a joke that somebody there is a lady that called the masjid and said, "Hello, is this the Islamic Center?" "Yes, ma'am. How may I help you?" "I wonder from where can I buy halal meat? Halal meat." Mm-hmm. He says, "Halal meat? Yeah, there are so many shops. But I'm just wondering, why do you need halal meat? Are you a Muslim?" She said, no, I'm not a Muslim, but my boyfriend is a Muslim. So I want halal meat for him." He says, "Oh my God, he wants this meat to be halal, but this meat is not halal."
This way.
It's like another joke that I shared with you in your house.
Yeah.
That there is a guy asking, this one is true, on the satellite, who's asking the satellite sheikh on the satellite channel, the Mufti. He was asking him, "Sheikh, I don't know what to do. I committed adultery, and the one that I committed adultery with got pregnant." The sheikh said, "Oh my God, what a disaster you have brought to yourself. Man, couldn't you at least withdraw in the last minute so that you don't get her pregnant? Withdraw and ejaculate outside in the last minute so you at least don't get her pregnant?" So he said, "Sheikh, isn't withdrawing makruh?" The sheikh said, "Oh my God, you know that withdrawing is makruh. But adultery is halal."
See, like, some people, they have gas station, Muslim people, and they come to my restaurant, "Oh, do you have halal meat?" And he's selling beer and liquor in the gas station. Yeah. And he asks me, "Do you have halal meat?"
Yeah.
"So, what do you sell?" "Sell juice and
meat."
Sheikh Yazid. Sheikh Yazid, right.
محمد أصبح مشغول أوي، أنا بديش كتير. هذه نفس الفكرة.
لا معذور صراحة. أوفر من الدرس صعبة. عايز كوباية قهوة؟
بابا. When you told me you definitely come this morning, what world is that like 20 minutes?
That's 20 minutes in the moon.
What world is that like 20 minutes? 20 minutes حبيبي تعالى تعالى اقعد تعالى.